if you wanted to just summarize what you found and why it's important, that would be the first question I have.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jason. At the St. Louis University Symposium on discussing this topic of governance and municipalities and city and county, Better Together is doing a series of studies, and the first was public finance. And quite candidly, Jason, we felt that this would be a pretty boring report that probably CPAs and accountants would enjoy reading, but a lot of numbers, statistics, spreadsheets on salaries and what have you. But in the course of doing the compilation of the data, a trend appeared, and that was that municipalities, primarily right together in the northern area of the county, showed no debt. And then after further research, there were commonalities in those municipalities. Most were African-American population. Most were communities of under 5,000. Most, all of them, I think, had poverty levels 5% up to 35% higher than the average poverty level. And the conclusion of this study was that fragmentation really is a problem in terms of governance. The terminology that I used that day, I had is fragmentation. Where is it? And I brought all this stuff down here to read it. Fragmentation is a structural impediment to community reinvestment. Now, we looked at 90 municipalities, and of those 90, 49 had no debt. And the conclusion was that they had no ability or capacity to create debt. Now, debt normally is a good thing for us. Not having debt is a good thing for me and you individually, but for municipalities and governments, it is not necessarily good because out of debt, you're able to borrow money to take care of the necessary services, mm-hmm. street repair, rec centers, police cars, and the things necessary to enhance the quality of life. And these communities did not have the wherewithal to create the debt, so therefore these communities were not structurally sound or in good shape. And, of course, when there is no public investment in a municipality, it's very unlikely there's going to be any private investment. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I said it in my report, the narrative was that, well, you know, those poor people live over there, those people, and they don't keep up their neighborhood. And that's a kind of a straw man in the sense that those communities don't have the wherewithal. And we also compared it to, let's say, out in North County adjacent to some of these North City compared to some of these municipalities, people there are just as impoverished in the city as, say, those in these municipalities. But the community doesn't go down because the city of St. Louis has the capacity to create debt and fix things, whereas these municipalities don't. Mm-hmm. So we didn't make any recommendations. We just made an observation that 49 predominantly black municipalities, and then I noted that in my presentation, I named some of those communities, Belle Reve, Belle Nord, Beverly Hills, Glen Echo Park, Northwoods, Pasadena Hills, and Pasadena Park. These were all municipalities basically created for homogeneity, or basically to keep poor folk, people of color, out to protect their little niche. Now, the trend has it is they all migrated, I guess, to St. Charles or wherever, points west, and these communities are now African American.
I actually was speaking with a resident of Pasadena Hills earlier today, and mm-hmm. he kind of made similar observations that, first of all, there's a Pasadena Park right next door, and a lot of them have similar services. I think there's two police departments there. Right. There's two trash contracts. And one of his observations was if a lot of these very, very small municipalities consolidated and made into one 20,000-person city, it's possible that there more would get done just because it wouldn't be so fragmented and whatnot. I know that there was no recommendations met in this report, and you just mentioned that. But is that one of the possibilities that can be gleaned off of some of this analysis?
It should be. It's obvious that these small municipalities cannot provide for themselves. You know, eventually, some of these small municipalities, before we ever came along, have dissolved on their own weight. So, yeah, although we didn't make the recommendation, it's obvious that if these municipalities were to come together, they could create the size, the ability to create the debt, the ability to service their people better, better governance, better security, the whole bit. But although we did make the recommendation, this would be one of the obvious results or conclusions one would make, that some of these municipalities would be better off if they didn't. And that's if they did merge. And that's why we're doing these studies, not necessarily to tell people what to do, but it's obvious to people once these studies will be completed in some cases. It may be the other way, that there'd be things to say maybe it wouldn't be a good idea, depending on what the topic. But yes, that is the obvious conclusion, and it was an alarming trend that we saw, and we felt it was necessary, although we had not planned to make in these types of observations. We again thought this would be probably one of the boring, one of the less interesting studies, yet it has turned out to show a very alarming fact.
Now, there were also some municipalities that were larger. For example, I think Baldwin doesn't have any debt, and I think, you know, Green Park, which I think has 5,000 people or something. Those are just examples off the top of my head. They don't have debt either. Do they have – is that for a different reason?
Yeah, though? It's because they're affluent. They have the they have the tax base. They have businesses. They can generate revenue, and there is no need for them to have the debt. Huntley Woods was, I think, one that I mentioned. For instance, some communities like Huntley Wood or Westwood are able to afford these things without taking on debt. Others, such as Twin Oaks, have substantial commercial and industrial enterprise. So in the case of these municipalities, the common theme was they're very small, don't have the tax base, don't have the businesses. But there are many others that could be the same size but in different areas that have what is necessary to take care of themselves without creating the debt.
Now, I'm going to open this up to all three of you. And if I'm not mistaken, because I've only been in St. Louis for 4 years, but I was told that there has been kind of proposals before to consolidate municipalities. I guess McNary did it with boroughs, if I'm not mistaken. And this is more from my own knowledge. Is that – am I summarizing that correctly, or am I wrong?
Well, it's overstated. What you've been told is overstated. Okay. I had heard the same thing when we started looking at this a year ago. McNary did have a board of freeholders that worked on this in the 80s, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's the last time anybody worked on this. So that's 30 years ago. Prior to that, the last vote was in 1962. And prior to that, it was 1926, and that was the first vote after the separation in 1875. So the phrase gets thrown around, well, we've tried that before. Not really. Mm-hmm. About once every 50 years.
But the reason I mention that, even taking that aside, you saw some of the reaction to this study at the SLU conference from some mayors, both of big and small municipalities, and perhaps unsurprisingly, they weren't terribly enthusiastic. But what was kind of your reaction to that? And what do you think has been their reaction to these types of findings? And this is open to everybody as well.
I don't want to appear to be your audience think that I'm naive, but I was a bit taken aback by it. I figured we don't have an agenda. We're not coming. This is going to be done by the people. If there's any change in governance, the people will make their mind up on their own. So I thought it was pretty early in the game for a report like this about the finances for the defensive posture that some of the mayors took. One of the mayors that I talked that spoke, I know her personally. I know her community. It's a very small municipality.
Are you talking about Monica Huddleston of Greendale?
Right. And I know that community. And she said, well, maybe it's because we have good governance and we don't have to make debt. Well, Yeah, I didn't want to get in a point counterpoint, but it's such a small community, and most of the services are provided by Normandy or other communities like police, fire, and all of that. So there was no need to take debt because it's such a small community, and I suspect it's not a poor community, right adjacent to the University of St. Louis and Glen Echo Country Club. So, but I was even a little taken back by her. People seem to be very threatened as if we, if they bought this data, these results, that would be the end of the road for them or something. And we just don't have the power nor the desire to do that. But, yeah, I was taken back a bit. I don't know. You were there. How about you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a little bit, but I think part of it is to be expected to. You have some mayors who didn't create the system but are trying to work within it, and they're, you know, doing what they can to do that. So there's kind of a natural defense to it, I think. But I would say, you know, there have also been mayors who have come forward and been helpful and talked to us, and, you know, the conclusion that some of these municipalities are just choosing to not issue debt just because, you know, they don't see any need for it, they don't see any – regardless of – you know, there are examples of that, I'm sure, but for it to be so centralized in a core, and for other mayors to come and say, yeah, their debt is an instrument there, just probably isn't going to work. They're small. They don't have the assets, those sorts of things, you know, financial experts. So to challenge it, I understand that, and I'm sure that there are some instruments that are available that maybe are being chosen not to be used, but I think that would be more of an exception, just based on some of the experts we've talked to.
And I think saying some of the experts, let me paint a little bit of a picture for you, Jason, and for your listeners. As Jim has pointed out very elegantly, we were not looking for this finding. And it was almost by happenstance. David and his crew of researchers, I had asked them to look at the debt for some reason, to look at some specific thing, and they came back and said, well, we looked, that wasn't there. But then we started looking at the cities that don't have debt, and let me tell you what we found. And I was almost overwhelmed with the gravity of this and very sad about it. Because if you brought anyone in here and talked to them who's been involved with redeveloping a neighborhood or redeveloping a city or even redeveloping a block, it is almost impossible to do without some element of public participation. And when I looked at that map and I saw those neighborhoods that basically have no access to the credit markets for them, it's almost as if you're dooming a neighborhood. You know, that if the question is, when are they going to fix those bathrooms in the park? The answer is never, because those are the kinds of things that municipalities issue debt for. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the first thing when David stood there. I said, my gosh, what do people issue debt for? They buy police cars, fire trucks, they fix parks, they fix roads. And to have 100,000 people or a little less living in our community that are living in a segment of the community that has no ability to improve their environment and their built infrastructure is very serious. And I'm saying that in response to your question about the mayors, because I have been disappointed at the anger that some of the mayors have shown. But then I remind myself, this is not good news. What we're telling you here is not good news. People don't respond always to bad news the way you would have it. They respond in every different fashion, and anger is one of them. Yeah. And so in that sense, I'm not surprised.
Now, before I get to the broader question, it's not only like some of the smaller municipalities that have reacted negatively, but you kind of alluded to your Kamox battle with Ellisville's mayor, and I don't think Ellisville is on that list of
no.
debt.
No.
But
no.
You've had these bigger municipalities kind of react negatively, even though I guess they're not technically like even singled out. Like, what's going on there that's causing all this? Again, is it just defensiveness? Is it just fear that this is something bigger? Like, what has been with that?
A couple of mayors have said to me, you know, Nancy, let me tell you what's really going on here. It's fear. And, you know, I'm just going to repeat what people have said to me rather than speculate as to people's motives, because I think that could be dangerous. But they just don't want this looked at. I mean, we've been told you don't have this. You don't have the skill to interpret it correctly. Or I mean, it's not been a good intellectual argument that we could get our arms around and have. It's been much more emotional.
I think because it's been endorsed by both the mayor and the county executive, our studies. And I agree with Nancy. I think even the more secure, financially sound, very successful communities like Baldwin, Ellisville, and others, they don't want that interrupted. They don't want any change. And they don't know where this is going, but they know it's going to be it could create some level of uneasiness, anxiety, or people pressuring change. And people are fearful of change. So rather than get there, let's protest now. Like, well, why would Baldwin even vote on something this early? They had nothing to vote on. But yeah, that you asked me if I was surprised by the reaction of the mayors specifically that in these communities. Yes, and I was even more surprised by those who weren't even impacted, that they don't even want to take. It's like going to the doctor and he says, I want to run a test. I've got a lump here. Well, okay, I'm going to run a test. And you go, no, I don't want the test run. Just tell me what the lump is. I can't tell you unless we see the test.
Well, and you also, I think that the argument that, you know, every municipality is just choosing to not issue debt just doesn't hold up too. I'm sure there are those there, but, you know, a Huntley, there's certainly smaller municipalities that are doing fine and have the money, but it's not like these others are just building up their reserves. You have municipalities whose sales and property tax pretty much equal speed camera and court revenue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are not, I don't think anybody would look at that and say that's a healthy sign for a municipal model in terms of funding when almost half of your revenue is coming or a third of your revenue is coming from speed cameras or things that could be outlawed in a year.
Okay. So this is now looking a little bit more broadly, and I'm well aware that Better Together is not endorsing a specific plan and they're looking at things, and I know that from the onset. But when you talk with people like Mayor Slay and County Executive Dewey, and we talk about this idea of ending the Great Divorce, often they just talk about the city entering as a municipality. Mm-hmm. That's the most common proposal, I think, that's put forward. Mm-hmm. But given, like, for example, this study, should people be looking at something more comprehensive, like consolidating municipalities or fire districts or something? Does that become part of the equation? Is that why you're putting this information out, so maybe people could talk about that as a viable option?
Well, we want people to talk about it. I mean, we're putting it out. This is going to sound perhaps a little Pollyanna-ish, but we embrace the Jeffersonian principle. If you give people enough information, they'll do the right thing or they'll make good choices. Up to now, what we found when people were talking about the city renter in the county, we found all these emotional arguments about it, but we found that no one had any facts. And determined that let's just get a lot of data together and have a community conversation. And for the most part, Jason, we already are. I mean, we have hundreds of people sometimes show up at our meetings where we're covering aspects of this study. And a community conversation has started. You can tell that by looking at social media and the press. So that's a good thing. And you know, we don't have the agenda of more needs to be done, but I think we would all, everybody who's involved, would defend the idea that everything should be looked at. And the way we're looking at this simply hasn't been done. I mean, we had to assemble even all the budgets, even the sum total that we've learned and we've reported that the spending of the 115 governments we're looking at is $2 billion a year. That number was not accessible to you or to anyone else before we did this. So we think those are important pieces of information for people to have.
Yeah, and you asked me earlier, well, you know, based on this common area where these 49 municipalities couldn't create debt, we said the natural conclusion would be that they would merge. And it's, well, that's exactly what we want them to decide, but they can't. these municipalities don't necessarily talk to each other, and a lot of them don't know where each other stands on their debt and what have you. Now that it's a public document, they can openly come in without being intrusive and saying, well, according to that, you've got the same problem we've got. Hey, we want to start talking about maybe, if not merging the municipality or getting the St. Louis County Police to come in and police these two or three different areas like Upland Parks, and it's going on out there now. So the common theme would be to look at the data and say, where can we improve ourselves? If it doesn't mean dissolving our municipality, it may mean some collaboration with other municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, it goes back to what Jim said earlier, being surprised about reaction. Just hearing people say we're opposed when, okay, what are you opposed to? And here's the data, here's the numbers, show us why you're opposed. That's just as much a part of the conversation as show us why you're in favor of one solution or another.
Well, this might be a side question, but going back to the bigger municipalities, if it is just the city reentering as a municipality, why would Baldwin or Ellisville care about that sort of thing? It's not like they get a lot of St. Louis County services anyways. They seem to be pretty well off in their own services. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, we had heard that they cared because they were worried about the sales tax pool being disturbed. Mm-hmm. And so in our public finance study, that was one of the questions that we had the law firm Polsinelli research for us to confirm in a legal memorandum that the sales tax pool would not be disturbed. And so we don't know. But Jason, truly, if those municipalities, if those mayors will participate with us, as part of this study, maybe we'll find out. I mean, one of the things we want to know is what's on people's mind, what they're concerned about, what they're in favor of, what their aspirations. We don't think we have all the ideas. So coming to the table and talking about that, I think would be a good thing and would make our study better.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything to add on that question?
I think the concern that you've heard it, that the city and if the city and county merged, that the county would have to assume the debt of the city and all of that. I think somehow or other the only thing I can reason is that some of these mayors in very affluent, very far west communities would think that somehow or other that stream's going to get closer to them. Creep. You know, they talked about urban sprawl. Well, maybe if some of these municipalities merge that are closer to us or just the city coming in the county, there's some undisclosed trickery or undisclosed dynamic that we don't know about, and it's going to impact us. So let's nip this thing in the bud. We don't even want to talk about it. But we as a community, our history has been one of being very parochial. Why do we have these 91 municipalities in the first place? What would ever motivate people to do it? Because as they moved out further, they created their own little areas, which they felt was secure, and they become very comfortable with this structure. And anybody that proposes anything different than what they have, they're going to challenge it.
Okay. So, but let's say there is a proposal that gets put forward. Let's just say, you know, there is a consolidation of these smaller municipalities. And maybe that's completely disconnected from the question of whether the city reenters the county. Do you foresee that a lot of people within those areas, you know, supporting it just because they might see it as more beneficial to their everyday lives, or do you think it's going to have a lot of political opposition?
Take this if I could, Jason. Sure. I mean, first of all, I can't say emphatically enough that that proposal would not come from us. Mm-hmm. All right? And we have not looked at that question, except that we do polling. And we did polling before we started. We did polling as long ago as September of 2012, and as recently as January of 2014. And what we found, and this is on our website, 40% of the people in St. Louis County want to do something different. They don't like the current situation. And that something different is the modest, what some people refer to as the modest step of the city reentering the county. 39% of them want more radical solutions than that. That's not 50%, but it's 40%, and it's not nothing. So what we do know is that there is an underlying anxiety about the way some of these governments are organized and the numbers of them. There is anxiety, as especially coming out of the recession that we had, where home values became depressed and the property taxes are not yielding what they were. If we put information out that helps people, leaders in the community, both political, labor, and business, if it helps them to craft solutions that make St. Louis a more progressive, a more competitive place, then we will have done very good work. But we are not crafting that solution.
Yeah, it seems like also when you're talking about just the act of consolidation, I don't know if there's a legislative or state something in state law that allows that to happen right now. I know it's very difficult, for example, to dissolve municipalities. I don't know how easy it is to merge them. I don't know.
Well, the Constitution is very clear. I think it's Article 6. When the St. Louis is a city not within a county is a constitution. Mm-hmm. In the Missouri State Constitutional, and the Constitution anticipated that St. Louis may wish to change its political relationship with St. Louis County, and it does lay out four paths to the ballot that would effectively change the Constitution with just a vote with St. Louis City and County. Or, of course, you can always change the Constitution with a statewide vote.
Right, right. So, bottom line, if you guys wanted any one message to come from this study and just kind of this discussion about municipalities in St. Louis County, what do you want to convey to people who are engaged in this issue? Because obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of people are engaged in this issue. I mean, that SLU conference was completely full. You know, mm-hmm. There are people talking pro and against on social media. But what do you want people to know from this?
I would say I would implore the community to give it a chance. Let us do our work. When I was approached to join this board, my condition was I don't want any preconceived agenda or any reports coming out. I don't want that. I like the concept of doing the reviews, the studies, and then let the people have at it and let the chips fall where they may. All of us on the board have opinions, but they don't matter because we're doing this collectively. And I said, if it ever gets to the point where there is some hidden agenda where recommendations start evolving, then I'm out of here. I spent 30 years running the Urban League and have a reputation. I'm not going to put it at stake over this. But I am a firm believer we've got to change something. So I would implore the community, stay calm, let the studies take place, and then do your thing. If it's political, do your political thing, but at least let's take a look at where we are as a region, because we are slipping as a region, metropolitan area, and we are not competitive. And I'm here to as the leader in the African-American community, I want African-Americans to have jobs, better housing, better opportunity. I want this community to be secure. I think all these different looks that we're going to take will tell us where we need to improve, and it'll be up to the citizens as to how we do that.
I think primarily I would just reinforce this is a discussion. It's over a year long. And it really is designed to make citizens into stakeholders. I think that just by looking at our region, you look at a 19th century governmental structure, and we're in a 21st century global economy now. And I think there is definitely evidence that it's at least worth a look, at least worth a discussion, and it's worth some informed dialogue using facts, using numbers. And I think that, you know, as a region, we need to get past this economic development model where in order for one area to improve, another has to lose out. Because in order for us to be a place where my friends and my kids in the future and family don't just go off to Chicago, go off to New York, go off to North Carolina, D.C., wherever they're going, if we're going to be a global competitor, which is how the economy works now, we can't have all the municipalities, the city, the county competing against each other in some ways and have portions of it doing really well and portions of it doing really badly. I think that that's something that as a community we need to be passionate about, take a look at, because at the end of the day we all benefit and rise and fall as a region. Nobody looks at St. Louis and says, oh, that's a mile from this or that's four blocks this way. They look at St. Louis and it's St. Louis. That's how people look at it. And we have our charm, we have our regions, we have our neighborhoods and things like that, but we really need to focus and come together as a community, not only for this generation, but for the next generation, because it's a completely different economy and we're still looking at an older structure. Is that good? Is it bad? I don't know. But I think that everybody owes it to kind of the region as a whole to take a look at it in that way.
Well, I'd like to just build on what both Jim and Dave have said. We have to do this for the young people, the people younger than me. I mean, I'll say on the air, I'm 60 years old. Dave is the age of my son. I have children Dave's age. They want this fixed. And this fix, I mean, this fragmentation. They want us to do better. They tell us that overwhelmingly in our studies. They tell it to us in our polling. And so we have to do this for them. We have to look hard at what we're doing and evaluate if it's the best we can do. And I feel very strongly about that, and I think a lot of people do. And the evidence that they want this to happen, the young people, they want to stay here. They love this place. Okay, they love St. Louis. We had 170 people who RSVP'd to show up at a bar on Cherokee Street to talk about economic development last week. Then when they showed up, there were over 100 that came, even though there was a tornado warning, and they were all between the ages of 25 and 40. The young people in this community want us to help them seize the day. So this year, I think we all just suck it in. We have to look at all the information we can and prepare ourselves to make some good decisions, even if some of them end up being hard decisions, but prepare ourselves as a community to make some good decisions to have the St. Louis that our children want, who they're told us they want.